Tonight, we have a reconsecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And to lead us in that, Rita is going to do the reconsecration. Rita?
So we'll say this consecration after I have a little talk on St. Margaret Mary. And Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary in the late 1600s. Looked up story of St. Margaret Mary. You do wonder why Jesus chose certain people for his mission to spread this devotion. St. Margaret Mary was born in 1647 in France. She was the only girl. She had six brothers. Her father was a notary. He did very well financially. Her godmother was a countess. Margaret was described as showing intense love for the Blessed Sacrament from early childhood. When Margaret was 8 years old, her father died of pneumonia. She was sent to a convent run by the Poor Clares, where she made her first communion. She later contracted rheumatic fever and was confined to bed for 4 years. At the end of this period, she made a vow to the Blessed Virgin Mary to consecrate herself to religious life. See, she was living in a convent at the time, so must have been 13, 14. She was instantly restored to perfect health when she did this, when she consecrated herself to the Blessed Virgin. So in recognition of this favor, she added the name Mary to her baptismal name of Margaret. According to her later account of her life, she had visions of Jesus Christ, which she thought were a normal part of being human. So she was young and she, you know, had these visions. So she continued to practice a life of fasting and self-denial. The life of her family, after her father died, the family's assets were held by an uncle. Well, back then, you know, in the 1600s, I guess that was family. So he refused to hand over the money, plunging her family into poverty. So during this time, her only consolation was frequent visits, pray before the Blessed Sacrament in the local church. So she had an early childhood of a lot of prayer. When she was 17, her brothers were older. They came of age, is the way they put it. He took possession of the house, apparently got it away from the uncle, and things improved. So they had, you know, they were living comfortably. Her mother encouraged her to socialize with her brothers so she could find a suitable husband. So back in the day, get her married off. Out of obedience and believing that her childhood vow to the Blessed Mother was no longer binding, she began to accompany her brothers to social events and dances. One night, after returning home from a ball, dressed in beautiful clothes, she experienced a vision of Christ, scourged and bloody. A few years back, or Karen Scherer saw the movie of Divine Mercy, St. Faustina, and St. Faustina had the same vision of Christ with a crown of thorns. So Jesus, in this vision, told Margaret Mary, I mean, really, he gets your attention. He wanted her. He reproached her for her forgetfulness of him, yet Jesus assured her that his heart was filled with love for her because of the childhood promise she made to the Blessed Mother. After that vision, she determined to fulfill her vow and enter the convent when she was about 24 years old. She was part of the visitation sisters in that convent. When she was there, a fellow novice described Mary Margaret as humble, simple, and frank, but above all, kind and patient. And she made her profession as a sister in November of 1672, and then was assigned to work in the infirmary. When she was at the monastery, she reportedly received several apparitions. Of Jesus between 1673 and 1675. Among these visions revealed to her different forms, devotion to the Sacred Heart. The first vision was December 27th, 1673, which was the Feast of St. John the Apostle, when Mary Margaret said that Jesus had permitted her to rest her head upon his heart, and then he disclosed to her the wonders of his love, telling her that he desired to make them known to all mankind and to spread the treasures of his goodness, and that he had chosen her for this work. I did look up, and December 27th is still the Feast of St. John. It is celebrated on our Catholic calendar. At the Last Supper, if you remember, Jesus had St. John, his beloved disciple, rest his head on Jesus' heart. He drew him close. It's interesting, this happened on his feast day. Margaret Mary had to rest her head on Jesus' heart, filled her with his goodness. Between 1674 and 1675, other apparitions followed. From the second apparition onwards, a theme of sadness was in some of the visions that Jesus was very sad. Jesus spoke of the sadness he feels because his great love for humanity receives in exchange nothing but ingratitude and indifference, coldness and contempt. And this, he added, is more grievous to me than all that I endured in my passion. It also revealed practices expressing devotion to the Sacred Heart. He said the First Friday devotion, which is the reception of Holy Communion on 9 first Fridays of each month, is an act of reparation and was asked to Margaret Mary, was asked to her to say this, and a great promise was given to those who accomplish it. I promise you in the excessive mercy of my heart that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who shall receive Holy Communion on First Friday in 9 consecutive months the grace of final penance. They shall not die in my disgrace, nor without receiving their sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge in that last moment. So in June 1675, she had a vision of Jesus, and he asked her that the first Friday after the octave of the Blessed Sacrament be dedicated to a feast in honor of my heart by receiving Holy Communion on a day and making reparation. That vision later led to the institution of the Feast of the Sacred Heart, which Pope Pius IX added to the church calendar in 1856. Feast of the Sacred Heart is this Friday, June 12th. That's why we're doing it this week. It depends on the Easter, you know, when the Feast of the Sacred Heart. It's different Fridays in June usually. But this year it's June 12th. In another vision, Margaret Mary also stated she was instructed to spend an hour every Thursday night in prayer and meditate on Jesus, on his agony in the garden, and on each night, Thursday to Friday, I will make participation in the mortal sadness that I have accepted to feel in the Garden of Olives. You will get up from 11 until midnight to prostrate yourself during an hour with me. So this practice later became widespread in the Catholic Church, known as a holy hour. So we do have holy hours now, and they're frequently performed during an hour of Eucharistic adoration. A lot of the churches, as you know, on the west side, we're having a lot of them have Eucharistic adoration. St. Ignatius is on Thursday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. with confession starting at 5 p.m. It's made available to us. That start of a holy hour was kind of part of Margaret Mary's, the visions here. She eventually received support in her community of visitation, the Visitation Convent. So they started to observe the Feast of the Sacred Heart privately beginning in 1686. So, and like I said before, Pope Pius, it wasn't until 1856 it went on the calendar. Another thing, she had one of her last visions a year before she died in 1689. Margaret Mary received a private request from Jesus to urge the King of France, who was Louis XIV, to consecrate the nation to the Sacred Heart so that he may triumph over all the enemies of the Holy Church. Apparently the letter to King Louis XIV was either lost or he refused to reply, but his grandson, Louis XVI, vowed to publicly consecrate himself to the Sacred Heart when he was restored to power. But he and his wife, Marie Antoinette, were executed by guillotine in 1793, before you could do so. It's unfortunate. Who knows? This was the beginning of the French Revolution in the reign of Napoleon. Jesus had appeared to Margaret Mary to hopefully save the French from much suffering, which we know did not happen. She lived 43 years, and her feast day is still on the Catholic calendar, October 16th. There is some things, I'm kind of a numbers person. When we talk about the Blessed Mother, it's a small thing. We get the Immaculate Heart of Mary from the visions, the Fatima visions, and that was exactly 250 years later. Lucia, who was the oldest of the children that had the visions, in 1925, Blessed Mother had this devotion set up for the first five Saturdays, and many of you are familiar with First Friday and First Saturdays. The Blessed Mother said to Lucia, "On this day, Our Lady, holding her Immaculate Heart in her hand, appeared to Lucia, and by her side stood the child Jesus on a luminous cloud. The child Jesus said, 'Have compassion on the heart of your most holy mother, covered with thorns, with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment, and there is no one to make an act of reparation to remove them.' Then the Blessed Virgin Mary said to Lucia, 'Look, my daughter, at my heart, surrounded with thorns, with which ungrateful men pierce me at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. You at least try to console me and say that I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation all those who on the first Saturday of five consecutive months shall confess, go to confession, receive Holy Communion, recite five decades of the Rosary, and keep me company for 15 minutes while meditating on the 15 mysteries of the Rosary with the intention of making reparation to me.'" The Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is the day after, it's a Saturday, so they have Friday, the Sacred Heart, Saturday, the Immaculate Heart. It's interesting, went to Mass this morning at St. Jude's, and in their bulletin was this. This is our bishops in the United States are taking, or consecrating the United States tomorrow, so to the Sacred Heart. As it says here, the United States prepares to commemorate the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, the bishops of our nation invite Catholics to reflect not only on our history, but also on the spiritual foundation needed for our future. In this historic moment, the bishops of the United States will consecrate our nation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus on June 11th, 2026. The consecration is far more than a ceremony or symbolic gesture. To consecrate a nation means to place it intentionally under the care and lordship of Jesus Christ, acknowledge that true healing, peace, and renewal come ultimately from Him. In entrusting our country to the Sacred Heart, the Church turns to the merciful love of Christ, the heart that was wounded for us, and continues to call humanity back to God. It is also a reminder that the renewal of the nation begins with the conversion of hearts. So tomorrow, just remember, and a lot of people go to daily Mass, and Friday is the Feast of Sacred Heart, but you know, pray for the bishops, and I was really happy to see that. So right now we'll begin and say our prayer and consecration to the two hearts. We'll say it together. Jesus and Mary, we, your family of Lighthouse Community, come to renew our consecration to your two hearts.
Jesus and Mary, your hearts are in perfect unity. You are all loved, and all your actions are rooted in love. Mary, who cooperated with your Son in the work of redemption, your lives are inseparable. We proclaim and embrace this truth by our consecration to your two hearts. Jesus, your incarnation was the Father's way of consecrating you for your mission. Yet, once human, you had to freely accept that mission by consecrating yourself to the Father's will. As Christians, we have been immersed in that same mystery and ministry which you left to your church in calling us to be members of Lighthouse Community. You have given us an additional call through our community vision. Today, we renew our consecration to your Sacred Heart and to your holy will for Lighthouse Community. We no longer belong to ourselves, but to you, Lord. We have imparted your own life to us. We choose to live our vocation, to live perfectly this consecration. Mary, your heart was in perfect unity with the heart of Jesus. Together, you cooperated with the Father's will in the work of redemption. You were a strong support for Jesus. In his youth, you helped sensitize him to the work of the Spirit. You were a perfect mother in bringing up your Son. No one can separate your heart from that of your Son. It is in this Spirit that we consecrate ourselves to your two hearts, which have always beat as one.